My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Benny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
The reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Friday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show. This morning is Jace. Our sponsors today, Angler U, the Belleville Meat Market, and the Texas Insider Fishing Report. All right, weather. Galveston right now, 84 down on the island. Looks like abundant sunshine, a high around 90 today with north-northeast winds 5 to 10. And looks like tonight, clear skies, low of 83, east-northeast 5 to 10. And for tomorrow, mainly sunny, high of 91, east-northeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. I'm not seeing that right now as, local winds. Everything looks like it's got a lot of west in it, but they're calling for it. We'll go with it. All right, looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. There's four of them. We're sitting on a low right now. We have a high coming up at 8:15 a.m. It's a 1.2. Then we have a low at 2:52 p.m., an 0.6, and then a high at 9:16 p.m., an 0.9. 6:45 a.m. is sunrise, 8:04 p.m. sunset, and our moon phase, 16%. Headed towards our next full moon. It'll be a while. All right, looking at current conditions right now, it looks like the Galveston North Jetty, it looks west at 11 there. And down at San Luis Pass, it's west at 5. Eagle Point, west at 4. Morgan's Point, west at 6. So, and even the buoy offshore showing a kind of a west-southwest at 13 miles per hour. So, all west in the wind this morning. They're calling for north and northeast, but so far, we don't have that. All right, let's get to the phone lines. Let's go over to the Tri-Bay area and check in with the hammer, Captain Glenn Hammond, this morning, see what he's up to. Good morning, Glenn. What's up?
Hey, good morning, Captain Mickey. Not much at all. It's really calm over here this morning.
Well, that's good.
Really, really calm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're gonna change it up and do a little. I got my nephew coming down today, and he's always gung-ho for whatever we choose to do, so I might even just sit back and let him take the steering wheel and commandeer us right on through it. But anyway, Captain Mickey, our week over here has just been hot, just like anywhere else. It finally got hot. And I mean, but one thing about it, it's killed some of the mosquitoes. It's kind of pushed them back. I think it's frying them. Hopefully it's.
Well, I think those last real hard rains we had flushed all the larvae away, and then now that it's gotten hot, it's dried up. They're gone. I'm glad.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I had, let's see, on Wednesday, well, I'll tell you what, I was supposed to have a trip on Monday. I put it off till Tuesday. Then we put it off till Wednesday. And the only reason being, there wasn't a bait camp one down here with any live bait. Mm-hmm. I mean, they might have had mud minnows or finger mullet or croakers, but they didn't have any shrimp. Not a bait camp down here.
Oh, darn.
Just, I had one boat come in and said he had one quart of shrimp, and another boat came in said he had three shrimp in the net. And that's how fresh the water is, just right here immediately in the intercoastal back here. But anyway, so I took a trip to San Luis, went over to the West End, and there's a couple of marinas over there right on the bay, and talked to them, you know, just because it's off the beaten path. And even though you got to, you know, go across San Luis to find the places, you know, it's just something I wanted to have on the back burner just in case, you know, there's nothing over here. I can run over there and pick it up. So anyway, we on the way, looking at the beach was absolutely gorgeous all the way to the green water, all the way up to the shore. So,
it's been nice.
I called Tuesday. Let's see. So we put him off Monday for Tuesday. Then I had to put him off Tuesday because I couldn't get any bait till Wednesday morning. And we finally got it together, and I took three people out. It was a grandfather, Robert, and his two grandsons, EJ and Jacob. And they were troopers and hadn't done that much of saltwater stuff. And he had just took them down to Academy or somewhere and bought them a brand new rod and reel and where I could rig them up with some popping corks and stuff. But I'll tell you what, we got out there and it was an incoming tide early. We got a very early start. We were on the water and fishing by 6:30. And I'm glad we did because we could have set on them. The first stop I made, we put two reds and two specks and some sand trout in the box, hooked a couple of skipjacks. I mean, those things, you know, it's, wherever the trout are, they're not going to be far away. They feed on about the same things. And those darn fish, those skippies, they got those big old eyeballs. They can't miss anything.
No.
You ever see how big their eyeballs are?
Oh, they're terrible.
That fish is a mess, literally a mess. I tell them, don't bring them in. They reel them in hot. They reel them in hot, and here's about a 2 foot, what are they, They're ladyfish when they're little, skipjacks when they're big, horse mackerel.
I mean,
oh, my goodness. 2 foot long, and they'll jump right in the boat with you. You bring them in hot,
that
fish will literally jump. You had it done, had you? But anyway, so we had fun. Anyway, we could have sat right there on that one spot, buddy, and no telling what I could have done, but I refused to set up a mailbox. I mean, I just don't do it. I don't have the patience for it. I like to go on, hey, man, this was good. We got what we need from here. Let's move on to another spot. And that's what we did. But each spot produced. We ended the day with four reds. The kids put a tag on a 29-incher, and I showed them how to fill it out and everything, to punch the dates out and all that, put the county, you know, and this and that. And the main thing is have that fish tag when you come back in. I mean, and the only thing was we did everything exactly right, but I didn't have a pen with me. So as soon as we hit the parking lot and we could get a pen, we fill the rest of that thing in. But still, it's the right thing to do because the kid can turn it in and they give him another one. And
what do you got to fill out with a pen?
Sir?
What do you have to fill out with a pen? I thought you just cut the date out.
The redfish tag on the back of it. It wants to know what county that fish was caught in.
Okay. Well, I've never used a redfish tag, so I
okay,
know.
Yeah.
Kind of like a deer tag then.
Well, yeah, and then so it's a creel survey basically. And,
yeah.
And you turn it in and go wherever you bought your license. He's gonna go back and hand them it to them, and they'll print him another one. So you can actually catch two. You can actually catch two bull reds a year, So anyway, it's not a bull red. It was a 29-incher, but it was a fighting son of a gun. We had a 24 3/4. We had a 25 1/2, man, and a 23, and then we had that 29. So four quality reds, two specks. Mm-hmm. I think we ended up with about 10 or 12 sand trout, and then a black drum. But that's not including what all we released, the baby trout, the baby reds, and other things. So, I mean, it was like you didn't even have to really pop the cork. It was a good day for beginners, you know what I mean, because they didn't have to work real hard, and ended up with a very nice box of fish. And we were putting it on the trailer, Captain Mickey, at 10 o'clock in the morning. We were done. We were back underneath my fish cleaning shed at 10:30. You know, and by then, I think it's 90 degrees by then, easily. So, but that's what it is, man. You got to get out there and get early. That's what we're doing today. We're going to get a pre-dawn start and see what we can do and fish that incoming tide this morning. I heard you say it was coming in till about 8 o'clock or so.
Yeah.
Around the pass or wherever, it'll come in a little longer than that. But anyway, you got to watch it. One of the strong tides, you can't even get an anchor down there. So you better have a damn force, and you better have a heavy duty one if you're going to think you're going to down Sandy Pass anchoring those currents.
Yeah, but get you a good 6-foot chain on it and let more rope out, and it'll grab.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Pay it out. Pay out some rope and some chain and let's see. But anyway, the water's cleaning up finally on the beachfront all the way down from the jetties all the way to the pass. The beach looks pretty. It's got a little sandy right on the bank, and with that west wind, one day looks real, real green, and the next day it looks a little sandy. But anyway, we're gonna get out of there and try it, see what we can do today. And matter of fact, I'm not sure if we're going to throw shrimp or we're going to throw croakers or artificial or whatever, but I'm ready for all of it just to get out. You know, I got in from that trip the other day on Wednesday, and I went to flush that motor, and I looked up and I went, uh-oh. You know, I just bought one of these. Fernando hooked me up with this deal I ordered. It's a double flusher for twin engines on the back of the motor. I mean, on the back of your boat, if you got twin engines, it's a flush kit. So it has two hoses that go to them. Well, on my motor, I put one of the hoses on the flusher pump on the bottom, the lower unit, and then I hooked the other hose up to the one that goes up into the head. And so therefore, you make sure that Honda's got water all up in that head before you ever start it. You wait till it starts peeing. And anyway, so I looked. And it was gone, man. My Martin house, the barricade where the hurricane took it away, that's where I had both of my flush pumps. I had a homemade one, and I had a one I ordered, and they were both hanging on that fence. And I didn't even think about it till I went to flush that motor the other day. So here we go. Had to get back and order another one. It took 2 days for it to get here, but I got it.
Ended up in Houston.
No, there is not a bit of telling.
Gone.
I'll tell you what, you can drive around. You can drive around and see where that tide line was, and is there some stuff in it? Oh Lord have mercy! It's let's see, if you were a pilferer or if you were a scavenger, this would be hog heaven for you down here. And I shouldn't be saying that because there's people's stuff laying everywhere still. But that's about it. And I hope I have a better report for you on Sunday morning. We're gonna get out there this morning. My wife's gonna go with us and get us our early morning fishing in with my nephew. It's always fun with him. He's a good guy. He works hard for the city of Pearland and does real good and loves to fish. And I think he's gonna be the next up and coming captain. His wife bought him a little package to go to Captain Roy's for the he don't have a date set yet when he's going to do it, but he don't know when he can get the time off.
Well,
but,
we need more captains. We don't have enough of them.
We definitely need another thousand
or so.
Yes, sir.
Everybody can find him a guide to fish with. All right, Hammer. Well, hey, man.
Okay.
Throw him out a number, brother.
Yes, sir. 713-208-0683. Appreciate you, buddy, and I'll holler at you on Sunday.
You got it. Later, man. All right. That's the Hammer down in the Tri-Bay area. Time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. 418 here in the Bayou City. Let's run up to Fayette County. Let's check in with Mr. Bob Green. See what's up in his backyard. Morning, Bob. What's up?
Well, good morning. I didn't think I was going to be able to hear you because that commercial just before you was breaking up pretty bad.
Huh.
But I did hear no sunshine when you're gone, you know.
That's it. There you go. That's a bumper.
Yeah. I tell you, it's the whole area up here has had terrible phone service this week. I don't know what it's all about, but everybody's headed for the phone stores, and I'm about ready. Must be sunspots.
Well, it just depends on the cell towers, you know, what provider's putting out the best signal up there. That's the way it is on the bay where I'm at. One provider works, and that's it. If you've got the other two, you're done.
Well, I know you have to have a booster of some kind up here to make either one of them work. I mean, we've always had to have
that back in the day when I had a different provider, and it just was, you know.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I hadn't got much of a bass report. The perch reports are good, but other than that, I mean,
I haven't seen water temperatures as high as I saw them Tuesday.
I bet it's hot on that lake, man, with that discharge.
I hit 100 on the east end of the lake. And my buddy said, well, your transducer must be broke. And I said, that's a brand new transducer. I don't think so. But, you know, when we used to have water temperatures that got out that high, I haven't remembered any 100-degree days in, like, in one end of the lake or the other. Yeah, over in the discharge, 110, you know, at times.
Yeah, I remember Richard was telling me he went in Fayette County the first time him and his wife went over there two or three years ago, and it was 104, and they were catching them every cast there right by the, you know, the discharge.
On the rocks there.
Yeah.
And we've had summers like that. And I know last year I didn't really do that good, but right now it seems like the only people that are catching fish is just a few early in the morning. And the bait's running the banks. I mean, even out there when fishing for perch, you see these big pods of bait come by and see it working the surface. And that's pretty much what's going on early, you know, early, maybe the first hour or so.
Right.
Throwing some underspins or chatterbaits or just something that mimics a bait going through there, and then it's over. And then you've got to go out and find a pot of fish somewhere and either Carolina rig, drop shot it, or do them deep diving crankbaits. But that thing's got a bill on it as longer than the body, you know, and crank, 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 like, you know, like mad to get it down about 10 feet or so, and then just kind of let it, most times they'd hit it on the paws anyway.
Yeah.
I'm just not that crazy about that bait, but there's a couple that said they've done real well on it, you know.
They're doing good on redfish, you know, up here and, you know, here along the coast on redfish. Redfish, I mean, they annihilate those crankbaits.
Well, yeah, it's grandson and my son went again with us Tuesday. Got to the boat ramp, and there was a boat got towed in. It was had about, I don't know, an inch of the gunwale sticking above the water. They got to put their plug in. Of course, it sank right there at the boat ramp.
Oh, man.
So, you know, in the front of it was sticking up, and they were trying to back in and, you know, get the nose of it up on it. And I finally gave up on it ever getting out of there. And then up to the neck in water, trying to turn that boat sideways and dump the water out of it. That was impossible. You can imagine how many pounds of water was in that boat. And this was not a little boat. This was a little V-hull with a bimini top and stuff like that on it. And it probably 19 feet long at least. And
Laser
of course
trainer.
The engine was underwater. So, finally I just gave up and went to the other boat ramp.
Sat in one place for a long time for that hole to fill up that full of water.
Well, undoubtedly didn't have a bilge pump in it either. I make sure automatic bilge pump's in there just in case, you know. Well, first of all, if you leave your plug out.
If you know your boat, you can tell by the way it feels when you walk around in it if the hull's got water coming in it, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
That's the way it'll list if you go to one side or whatever. Or, you know, if you get up on plane, you feel the weight of it. I mean, there's, I guess some people just don't know their boat.
And I haven't got the details from the boy that pulled it in, but I'll see him later and see what happened. But, I mean, it was just crazy. And I was saying, well, everybody, y'all need to get in the water and help push this thing up when he's up to his neck. Because, you know, that boat ramp out there drops off where the props are throwing that sand up. I mean, if you drop off that backside, you know, then you're another 2 foot deeper.
Blowout hole.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people have actually, when they went off in the water, or their truck slid off a little further back, and then the axles drop off of that deal. The only way to get, you have to lift it up over that ledge or that cement ledge
off of the concrete. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you got an aluminum trailer, and then if you got four tires on it, it'll float it.
It'll float. Yeah, that's right.
An aluminum trailer will float.
Yeah. And then I got ready to leave, and it was pitch dark, and all of a sudden I had no running lights. I said, oh man, it's just one thing after the other. I had a unit, my most favorite unit went out. I don't know what happened. It had been telling me that something was going to happen. Of course, it went out, and then no lights. And finally, yesterday I spent most day underneath there trying to track down what blew the fuse. So. Anyway, I finally fought it and put new lights on the side of it. And, you know, you go through there and I'm thinking, okay, I know what all I got to do is replace this light with these two wires. And then it don't work. I'm not the world's greatest electrician. And but it took me about 4 hours to do a 30-minute job once I finally got it figured out. So, oh, well.
So what was it, just the light itself, or was it?
The only thing I can figure is I had a side marker light, the orange one, whatever color it is.
The red one, yeah.
It would flicker, you know, and then it'd go off. And then, so I thought it was a ground, but undoubtedly it was more than a ground. And
because it blew the fuse.
It blew that fuse in there, but. If you open that top of that fuse box in there, there's about 75 fuses in this one box. And some are square, some are flat, some are tiny, you know, some are huge. So you finally had to look in the owner's manual to find out which one was the tow package or whatever. So anyway, got it done. So today I'll put another unit in the boat and get that done. See if get another transducer and go see if that water actually is 100 degrees. But you know, this week has been, I mean, it's been calm, and Tuesday, I mean, it's slick as glass again. You know, that could be the reason I didn't catch but two bass. But when it's that calm every day up until, you know, maybe a little breeze at night, that water's gonna get hot. Nothing. I mean, just it's cooking.
Yeah, that's.
But it's been a while since I saw it that hot middle lake and back to the east, and you know, yeah, you can expect it around the discharge. But I even drove up. I didn't drive all the way up in it, but I just went in there a little ways, and it was 105. So, and normally if you go up in there about every 50 yards, it's just another degree hot. So, I decided to just. Boat ride to cool off, just one of those days.
That does help.
Yeah. Well, y'all had some problem with the show Friday, didn't you, last Friday?
Yeah, we had some technical issues, and we got it resolved, but we couldn't communicate between each other from my studio to the production studio, and it was just some weird stuff happened. They got it resolved.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, my son,
technology man.
Yeah, I had two people tell me, hey, what happened to their show? Yeah. So there you go. See, they people miss you when you're not there.
I know it. I try to be here. It's the show must go on, baby.
Oh, I mean, you've been doing it a long time. So
I was here, but couldn't do anything about it. That's so frustrating. Just man.
Yeah. Well, nothing you can do about that.
No, it's the way life is these days.
Yeah.
It's kind of an upside-down world to start with anyway.
Oh, God, tell me about it. I'm so sick of turning the TV on.
I don't even do it anymore unless it's a ball game or something, or maybe a Western. I'm good with it, but. Man, I just
I cringe
every time I turn the news on. But you got to kind of find out what's happening. But now, phone, you get all these alerts on it. And, I mean, anything that happens, you'll get it on your phone.
No, in between all the other calls you get every day on the phone, it are nothing but junk. spam calls. Oh, just constantly every day.
I get them in spurts. You know, I'll go 2 or 3 weeks and won't get one, and all of a sudden, man, you'll get a little run for about 2 days, and it'll go away. But I got a bunch of that blocker stuff, but sometimes it doesn't get all of them.
Yeah. Or even the house phone now, you'll pick it up, and if you don't hear anything right off the bat, they're waiting to put a recording or something on.
Yeah,
yeah, just hang it up. I've only got one person that calls my house on a house phone because we have to have it to have the phone service.
Right.
And it's one of my neighbors, two houses down. I'm thinking, shoot, just holler out the window, you know.
Just come on over. Well.
Hey, the good thing, it hadn't been any rain, so I haven't had, you know, I haven't had to mow over 3 days. So... And of course, y'all have got rain, haven't you?
Oh yeah, but we're drying out. We're dried out real good now. Mosquitoes are gone. There's still a few around, but it's not like it was. It was a malaria pit there for about 10 days. My goodness.
Yeah, if I stand still long enough, I haven't had to wear shorts all the time. But again, the mosquitoes find you from the knees down. You know, just. And I don't have any standing water around here other than the ponds, and that's it, or the tanks. Well, I don't know why I said pond, you know. That don't even sound right. These are tanks.
Tanks. That's what we always call them, tanks.
Yeah.
Damn tanks.
Yeah.
Boy, when I was a kid, man, I'd go up to my grandma's, all her friends had, you know, cattle tanks on their property, and we'd hit them with... Man, we catch some big old bass out of those tanks. Walking about.
Yeah, they were, because I know when I was probably in my early teens, and grandparents' place up in Hearn, Texas, and there was one little pond. I mean, you could underflip across this thing, and I caught, I don't know, I think I had 7 or 8 bass on that stringer. I mean, you would have thought the water went down 4 inches, you know, just pulling them out of there. And I took it over there and showed them my granddad. And he said, and I said, you want me to put these back? Oh, no. Might as well take them now. But anyway, he didn't care because all they cared about those things was watering the cattle. But I couldn't believe how many good fish was in that little mud hole.
Oh, and, I mean, hey, a bass will survive in a bar ditch.
Well, those did. Yeah. Of course, that was back when I filleted it. You know, it wasn't like I am now. Let's throw these back, you know.
Yeah.
These are money fish. Let's throw them back and catch them again.
When is killing enough, you know? I mean, after all the fish you've killed all your life, I mean, it's just it's not that big a deal anymore.
No, if I want some fish,
be for a couple, you know, just for supper, something like that.
And, yeah.
Which I don't have anything against anybody that kills fish. I mean, hey, we've all done it, and more power to you. The law says you can do it. Go for it.
Well, you know, when I was younger, it took you a while to get the money together to run up to Sam Rayburn. And I used to love going up there for 3 days or so.
Oh, yeah.
And fishing, and we'd catch fish and cook them there. So, and there's a lot of people that come up here. They got all the RV hookups and the stuff like that in the cabins, and they'll fry up some fresh fish. So then I don't have a problem with it.
Oh, that's the best.
But they did move it from the 14 to the 16-inch slot. I don't know that I agree with that, but I guess somebody's a lot smarter than me, because 16-inch fish is over a 2-pound fish.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good one. So,
we got a real narrow slot on our trout, 15 to 20. You got a 5-inch slot, and
is it only three?
Three fish.
Good gosh.
I never thought I'd ever live to see the bass limit more than the trout limit.
And catfish is, 25, I think, per person.
Yep.
But, you know, there's a
crappie,
guy that used
to, you know, that's, and you know, 25 crappie, I mean,
that's,
once you fillet them all up, I mean, there's not that much meat. You know, you just don't get a lot off of them. You know, it's kind of like cleaning all them perch y'all catch.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes a bunch of them to get a pile of meat.
Yeah, I think out of the 15 they filleted the other day, it was 2.5 pounds of meat out of 50 fish. So, but, boy, they sure are sweet. Tastes pretty good. Man.
Fresh brim.
And I've yet to get a bone out of it. So.
Yeah.
That's my young grandson.
Yeah, they're kind of bony. You got to be real careful with them. It's,
yeah.
My old timers, they like cooking them whole and picking through them bones. I'm a fillet.
Exactly.
Man, so I like them fillets.
My dad was the same way until one day we had all those white bass fillet and I was using an electric knife and he said, "Well, you got another one of those?" Instead of scaling it with that spoon, you know.
Exactly.
That spoon worked really good.
Well, okay. Bob, I got to run, man. If somebody wants to call you about coming up to Fayette, how they get a hold of you?
It's 281-460-9200 or FayetteCountyBassFishing.com. Well, y'all have a great weekend coming up.
We'll do her. You do the same, Bob. You take care.
Talk to you later.
See you, man. All right, Bob Green up on Fayette County. You know, folks, Angler U, they're committed to steadily expanding its library of videos to cover every topic under the sun when it comes to fishing. And weekly fishing reports from up and down the coast by the best guides and tournament anglers with decades of experience. And they're steadily expanding its library of videos to cover all topics in their archive so you can see patterns over a period of time. They have educational videos with instructional topics covering all aspects of saltwater fishing for speckled trout, redfish, flounder, and tarpon. And whether you boat fish, you know, or wade fish or kayak, they've got it all for you right there. Just go to anglerU.com. That's anglerU.com to become a member today. And when you become a member, you'll receive great discounts from partner retailers like Fishing Tackle Unlimited, Anglers Anonymous, and Waterloo Rods. So you can save a ton of money. Just go to anglerU.com. That's anglerU.com and improve your fishing skills. It's a game changer.
I'm so young and you're so old. This, my darling, I've been told. I don't care just what they say, 'cause forever I will pray. You and I, we will be as free.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 441 here in the Bayou City. Let's go to Matagorda and check in with Captain Tommy Alexander. Tommy, good morning. How's it going?
Man, what's up, Mickey?
Not a lot, brother. Not a lot.
Not a lot, huh?
Just hot.
Just the heat.
Just the heat, man.
Man, I'm not even going to lie. Yesterday, it was like, I don't even, this week has been really brutal.
Yesterday was pretty gnarly, though. You know, like
it was
from
bad.
Like 2 to 4 o'clock, man, I was outside. I'm going, God, it's hot.
Well, and I'm not even talking about that late. I mean, we were out there, so we went out like normal, and we made the first drift. It was like a northwest wind,
right?
And it was not hard, you know, like 5 miles an hour
right.
or something. And we made the first drift, and we just stopped on them. I mean, we were catching them. I don't know. We caught 5 or 6, you know, good keepers on the first drift. And then we turned back around, and the wind had kind of switched. It went from northwest to, like, due west. And I said, all right, so I had to reposition, you know, to where I wanted to be. And
right.
we caught about, I don't know, we caught maybe 2 or 3 more. And then all of a sudden the wind went to zero. Like, I mean, it just went to, like, looked like a mirror across the whole bay. And so we're just sitting there, not moving. So I'm thinking about putting the trolling motor in so I can, you know, just move or creep around maybe. And all of a sudden it just, you could feel the heat. It was like someone flipped on the dryer or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it just started creeping in on us. And it was like, we were all just drenched in sweat, and it got to where you couldn't even hardly breathe. And one of my customers said, he said, man, what time is it? He said, it feels like it's 2 or 3. It feels like it's 2 or 3 o'clock. I looked down. I said, man, it's 8:15. And he said, man, if it's 8:15, this ain't going to work. You know, there's no way. And I said, yeah, well, hopefully we get some wind come. But so we sat out there and messed around in it until about 10. And it still really wasn't any wind hardly even at 10. And we caught a few more fish, but once the wind stopped, everything stopped. But at 10 o'clock, it was miserable at 10 o'clock. Like, you couldn't breathe. It was just terrible.
Dog days of summer, the doldrums. It gets hot in the boat, man.
Man, with no wind. Yeah, that's the problem. When there's no clouds in the sky and there's no wind in August, it's a bad deal. But yesterday, for some reason, was one of the worst I felt. This whole week's been pretty bad, but yesterday was really bad for whatever reason. I don't know what it was. It just hit me worse. I don't know.
Yeah, like I kept wanting to mow yesterday, and I just keep putting it off and putting it off. And still, at 5:30, it was still 95 at my house.
Yes.
And I was watching the evening news. It came on. I flipped it on and looked at the weather there, and it was still 98 in Houston.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know exactly what it actually was, because, you know, when you get in your truck in the parking lot, that's not really – I don't think that's exactly right, but, you know, it's not right. But my truck's at 106 when I started it.
Well, yeah, sitting on blacktop and, you know, sitting there baking the sun. Just think how hot it was inside that truck.
Yeah, it said 106, but then even when I started driving, it went down, but it still only went down to 100. The whole way home, it said 100.
All the way
down Highway 60, it said 100. So it's pretty brutal, but fishing's good. I mean, you can catch them. I mean, it's just an early thing. You know,
August has always been a really good month, you know. Down south and then up here, August has always been good if you can just bear the heat,
and it seems
good
like
top
they
water
shut off
too. And this is a good schooling redfish month. It's about time for these reds to get schooled up and start coming up on top and blowing holes in the water.
Oh yeah, well we had I don't even remember what day it was. One day this week, we threw nothing but top waters, and we caught. I don't know. I mean we. I think we kept six, but we caught 15 or 20 probably. We had lots of blow-ups, you know, all on top water, and drifting, you know, not waiting, just drifting.
Right.
It's been good. I mean, it's just early, and then it shuts down. That's the thing. You don't have – you've got about a 2-3-hour window, you know.
Yeah.
You start fishing at 6:30, and by 9:30 or 10, you better be just about done, because you're not going to – from 10 to 2, I mean, I haven't caught anything. It just goes to zero.
Well,
it goes to nothing.
With the heat the way it is, and all the rain we've had, and all the runoff and brackish water everywhere, you heard any Vibrio cases down your way?
So,
We've had quite a few up here.
Yeah. Most of them I've heard is Galveston area. In San Luis Pass, I heard a couple around over there.
Yeah, and there was one in Freeport. I heard a guy died. I heard he got it from, like, getting a nick off a crab trap or something.
Wow. Well, I heard one. Somebody said that it was maybe Port Lavaca or somewhere over there. I did hear one case, and that was it. Over here, I haven't heard of any. Everything I've heard has been I haven't even heard the Freeport one, but it's all been the Galveston, St. Louis Pass, and I've heard several over there.
Yeah.
Several cases. I don't know why.
Yeah, the last time I heard it was around 15 cases, you know, in our area. But
yeah, I wonder what's up with that.
Well, it's just, you know, all the runoff, you know, from
But wonder why we're not getting them all around our area, too, because we got lots of runoff, too. I mean, we got
tons
of it.
Probably don't have near the people in the water over there that we do over here.
That could be true.
Yeah. More numbers of people, the better the
more
chance,
numbers.
Yeah, if you
I've heard several.
If you got any cuts
there,
or nicks on you, I'd stay out of it. I wouldn't mess with it.
Yeah, wonder how long it's going to be before that all filters around and goes away.
Well, it mixes in. It's real, real common in brackish water when you get all this runoff.
Yeah,
but I've
seen lines in East Bay of that fresh water. Like, you know, you can run down the bay and you'll see just a big, you'll cross a big line of, you know, right, green and then tea-looking colored water.
Uh-huh.
That fresh water, just a huge line goes across. And there's one or two spots on the intercoastal that I've driven by, and you can just see it coming off the bank, and it just looks like someone pouring iced tea into it.
Yeah. Well,
but
all right,
the
Tommy.
Fish is good. Surf's good.
I'm glad it's good. And if somebody wants to come fish with you, give them some info how they get a hold of you, brother.
Yes, sir. They can get me under Tommy Alexander on Facebook, or best way is my phone. If I don't answer, leave me a message or send me a text at 979-709-8242.
That'll do it, brother. All right, Tommy. Hey, thanks for all you do. And
thank you. Thank you.
Have a good weekend, man. See ya.
All right, you too, Mickey.
Later, bud. All right, it's Tommy Alexander and Matagorda. Now we're going to jump down the coast to South Padre and check in with Brian Barrera this morning. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Morning, sir. How you doing today?
Couldn't be better. It's all good.
All righty. I'm just getting ready for work here. Another fish-loving day.
Another day, another A. How's fishing?
Yep, fishing's been good. Yesterday was a little slow, but in general, fishing's been pretty good. I've been getting lucky enough to have some good enough weather to tarpon fish a few days a week.
Right.
Although the last couple days, it's been saying, you know, 0 to 1 foot surf and calm, and then you get out there and it's like 2 footers, you know?
Yeah.
It's a little bit rough, a little bit more rough than what the weatherman is saying, but we've been getting out. We've been catching some fish. Yeah. We've been catching some fish. We've been catching some big bull reds, you know, and the occasional nice tarpon, a couple of big ones. And I fished that TIFT tournament.
Right. I saw where you were.
Friday, Saturday. Won. Yep. We won the tarpon division.
Awesome, man.
Of the TIFT tournament. We went 4 for 15 on tarpon with the little girl, 11-year-old, against the adults.
Man,
took
that's
them all
awesome.
Down. Yeah, yeah, and it was hard because, you know, she joined the adult division, so we're not allowed to help her reel in fish or touch the rod or anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you've never known heartbreak than to have to tighten the drag down so tight on a 150-pound tarpon it just pops because it's too big for her to reel in, you know?
Right.
So it's have to pop off tarpon and go look for smaller ones. But she landed some 50-pounders, 40-pounders, 25s and stuff, so.
Yeah.
She got the W. Yeah. Everything worked
150 good. Pound tarpon's a lot for an 11-year-old girl.
That's a lot for anybody that's not in between
boy.
The age
I
of.
Mean, that's a big fish, man.
Yeah. She was between the age of 18 and 35. That's about the age of people that are good for that fish. But it was good. We had a ton of fun, you know, and then recently I went back into the ship channel and did some snook fishing and stuff, throwing top waters. Top water bites been really good. There's a lot of big mangrove snapper up top eating and stuff too, so.
Well, that's got to be
fun. That's always a ton of fun.
Big old mangrove on top waters, I guarantee you that's fun.
Yep, that's fun. I've got a deal coming up soon with some people that's all they want to do, so we're going to go out and try to get them a bunch of big mangroves and stuff. Should be great. I've been talking to my friends on the flats, and they're doing the same thing right now, kind of. With the no wind, it's been really calm, so they're just kind of getting the trolling motor.
Right.
And chasing down, like, schools of redfish and black drum on the flats. Kind of hunting down them schools that kind of will be down, and then you'll turn on your motor, and all of a sudden they'll pop up, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yep, so I've been seeing some of my buddies. I've been talking to some of my close buddies at the dock every day, and that's what they've been doing. They've been pretty successful.
Well, it's August. It's time of year for that schooling action on those redfish.
Yeah. This is when they start to school up on those flats. I mean, I hadn't caught a bull red on the jetties in a few weeks, and then I went out there day before yesterday, and I couldn't, you know, all they were eating all my tarpon baits. I couldn't even get a line out, you know. I had to switch spots.
Right.
And I was telling my clients, I said, the only time that you'll ever be, well, us in general here, because me especially, I like to catch redfish. The only time I'll ever be upset about catching a 40-inch redfish is when I'm tarpon fishing, you know?
Right.
You think it's one for the first 10 seconds of the fight, and then it's not. But like I said, it's the busy time of the year, so I've got only one day off a month, so I'm hitting it hard.
Yeah.
Got to get it while it's good during August, September.
Brother.
Yep, it's my favorite time of the year, so, you know, it's a grind, and I'm tired, but I love chasing tarpon, so get them as much as I can. They've been a lot deeper than usual, and there's been a whole lot of tarpon out at the oil rigs, too. My friends have been diving, seeing tons of them.
Really? Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and those rigs are, you know, 19 miles out. And they said that one of my friends sent me a video. There must have been, you know, 200 of them down there. It's pretty weird. He says they're pretty much impossible to fish for because there's so much barracudas, too. If you throw, like, any kind of live bait or anything like that down there, they whack it, and the tarpon are like up inside of the rig, so it's kind of hard to get them, you know. But my friend did catch one trolling a cedar plug the other day over there. He caught like a 40 pounder
cedar plug,
which is hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember people used to use those like crazy. I hadn't heard that in years. Cedar plugs. How about that?
Yeah. People are still trolling those down here for big fish up top.
Well,
that was pretty neat. So they're around, you know. The snook fishing has been pretty good, too. I've been catching some snook here and there just on the days when it's too windy to get out and do other stuff. So we've been getting on a good topwater snook bite early, but, you know, it's so hot right now, and the snook are really sensitive. So you've got, like, your first, like, hour and a half of the day, and then after that it's going to start to get pretty tough.
Right. All right, buddy.
To really put it in their face.
Well, I'm glad you got it going on. Keep it going.
Thank you, sir.
If somebody wants to call you about coming and fishing with you, give them some info, Brian.
Sure. Area code 956-755-9413 would be the best way. Or you can check out the website, inshorefishingsouthpadre.com.
All right, buddy. Well, Brian, have a good weekend, and way to go in that TIFF tournament. Good job, man. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, sir.
Later, buddy. Bye. See you, man. All right, it's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.